Investigators say a missing Fayetteville teenager has been found alive hundreds of miles away under a trap door in this man's home. How police were able to find her on Christmas Day.
Firefighters in Lee County are conducting a rescue operation on Cape Fear River. I'm live at the scene with what we know so far.
I'm timing out our temperatures town by town for your frosty New Year's Eve and beyond.
We begin with a disturbing breaking news story stretching across several states. A teenager reported missing weeks ago in our area, rescued from underneath a trap door inside a Kentucky man's home. Thanks for joining us. I'm Ashley Rowe.
And I'm Dan Haggerty. What a story here. Officials say that she was lured nearly 500 miles away from her home in Fayetteville to Kings Mountain, Kentucky. That's more than 8 hours away. Chris Lovinggood is following the details in the WRL Live Center. Chris.
Well, Dan and Ashley, I mean, again, this is the person that's being accused in this case, right? This is 34-year-old Zachary Jones, according to investigators in Kentucky. They say that he is charged with multiple offenses because that 16-year-old girl from North Carolina was found beneath, as you mentioned, a trap door beneath a rug under his bed. She was found on Christmas Day, but investigators say she was reported missing December 6th. Investigators say this all became knowledge to them as they received a complaint from Jones's mother that he and his, quote, girlfriend were fighting. In this case, the 16-year-old from this complaint seems to be what he viewed her as, a girlfriend. Now, police say that they showed up to Jones's home and the girl wasn't there, but they eventually looked through the house. They found some sort of drug items and such, and they eventually arrested him, and he did resist arrest. Investigators say that's where they looked under the rug, under that trap door, finding that 16-year-old girl who was missing from Fayetteville. Again, this man, Zachary Jones, is facing multiple charges, and more could come once he arrives back, or if he is taken to North Carolina, that is, because there are some pending charges in that regard as well. But again, this girl at last check is alive. She was evaluated at a hospital. And what we're working on now at WREL is to see how she is doing, because investigators say when they found her, she had been drugged up because she had been using marijuana and cocaine with this man.
Frightening stuff. Chris, thank you.
Another breaking news story we are following. Teams are searching for missing boaters along Chatham County River. Sky 5 flew over the scene in Moncure before the sun set. WREL's Willie Danley is there live. Willie, crews have been searching for hours, but officials are not saying much.
Yes, Ashley, in this very rural area, the road that we're standing on that crews have blocked off is really far away from the water. So crews had that entire stretch blocked off as they're searching. Take a look at this video that was captured by Sky 5, and you can see those boats getting prepared to get in the water. There's about three or four firefighters in each of them. And the water down there on Cape Fear River is very strong at the moment. I did speak to a firefighter out here, and he told me if they have to, they may conclude the search for the night and regroup at Cape Fear Fire Department. We're going to continue to follow this and try to find out how many people were in the water and have any of them been rescued yet. Back to you.
Okay, Willie Danley, a concerning situation live in Chatham County. Thank you. And there's a flood warning along that same river, the Cape Fear, in Cumberland and Bladen counties due to high water levels. Officials say levels at the William O. Husk Lock are expected to rise above flood stage early Saturday. People we talked to in the area said water is moving faster than normal and docks are submerged. County officials are asking people to take precautions. The flood warning is in effect through New Year's Eve.
All the rain has cleared out. The temperatures are certainly dropping as we look live downtown. This will be a busy place come New Year's Eve. A lot of people watching the acorn drop in Raleigh. Meteorologist Kat Campbell in the WRL Severe Weather Center with a closer look at some of the weather we're dealing with. Kat.
It's going to be cooling down through the weekend. Starting tomorrow, high temperatures are closer to normal for late December. 55 tomorrow. 50 on Saturday. Some of us struggling to even get out of the 40s Saturday afternoon. And then for New Year's Eve, it is a bright, sunny, and dry day. 54 degrees the high. Should be beautiful if you're headed to WRL first night in Raleigh. But by the time the acorn drops at midnight, temperatures will be near 40. So make sure that you are bringing your jacket with you, but you can leave the umbrella at home. As we bring in 2024, here's your town-by-town midnight forecast so you can plan ahead. 38 degrees in Roxborough and South Hill, 40 in Raleigh as well as Durham, 41 Rocky Mount, 42 Southern Pines, and 43 degrees in Fayetteville. Definitely a cooler end to 2023. I'll have a closer look at what to expect into 2024 coming up.
All right, we'll check in with you, Kat. Thank you. A sad story out of Holly Springs. Several pets are dead. An adult is injured also after the house fire that you see here. The chief says that two adults and two children were inside this home. It's Hickory Glen Lane when that fire broke out. A woman was treated for smoke inhalation. Two dogs, three guinea pigs, and a rabbit died in this fire. Just terrible. Family members say they were therapy animals for their daughter who has autism. Investigators are trying to figure out what caused this fire, but they do say a space heater was near where it started.
The man accused of stabbing a woman multiple times at a busy Raleigh intersection and then hopping a train to escape arrest was in court this afternoon. 51-year-old James Hunt appeared on a video monitor. He's charged with assault with a deadly weapon with intent to kill. Hunt is accused of stabbing Shanika Williams. Records show the two married in 2019. At last check, Williams was in serious condition. Hunt was given a $250,000 bond. Today, we learned the mayor of Sharpsburg is facing his second DWI charge in 5 years. Mayor Robert Williams was arrested in Rocky Mount last week. He was sworn into office in 2018, just hours after getting out from behind bars for DWI. Williams pleaded guilty to that charge and for resisting an officer and possession of a concealed firearm. WREL did not receive comment from the mayor himself. Sharpsburg commissioners responded in a statement that they are aware of the charges but have no further comment.
Right now here at 7 o'clock, a rise in respiratory illnesses across our state, prompting some new restrictions at area hospitals. New numbers out today show 8 more people have died from the flu, including 2 young people. That brings the total to 30 this season. And for the very first time since the beginning of the pandemic, more people have been hospitalized statewide being treated with flu as opposed to COVID. Both of these numbers are up here, as you can see, significantly. WREL Fayetteville reporter Gilbert Bay spoke with a doctor at Cape Fear Valley Medical Center who explained the mask-wearing policy changes in hospitals' emergency rooms because of this spike.
Well, this story is all about the numbers. I talked to an ER doctor who says the number of patients coming in with respiratory illnesses is up and many are being hospitalized.
It's no secret. People are starting to flood the emergency room here at Cape Fear Valley Medical Center. We're told an alarming number are testing positive for several respiratory illnesses.
Yesterday we had 249 some odd viral panels run in the hospital. Of those, half of them returned positive for either COVID, flu, or RSV. The bulk of those were positive for influenza.
The numbers are nowhere near what we saw during the COVID pandemic, but patients are being hospitalized, many with influenza, and that has doctors concerned.
We are concerned. When you're seeing volumes like this, it stresses the entire system. We're in one of those periods where we're just seeing high volumes of respiratory illness.
The rising numbers have forced the hospital to change its mask-wearing policy in the emergency department. Patients in the ED waiting rooms must wear a mask. Visitors will not be allowed in the adult emergency department waiting room. And visitors with symptoms of a fever or respiratory illness, including a cough or shortness of breath, should stay home. But there are a few exceptions.
Children are allowed to have one visitor or one parent or guardian with them, as well as folks that are over the age of 65 or folks that have mental illness or incompetence or issues where they would not be able to make decisions for themselves.
So right now the policy on masking applies to people in the emergency room, but doctors say it's a pretty good idea to keep your mask on anywhere in the hospital. In Fayetteville, Gilbert Bays, WREL News.
So hospital systems here in the Triangle are limiting visitors because of viruses. Also, Duke Health announced its changes this morning. So as of Wednesday, patients can only have 2 visitors, and children under 12 cannot enter hospitals without prior approval. UNC Health says as of Tuesday, all children age 11 and younger cannot enter inpatient areas and waiting rooms. Visitors with respiratory symptoms can't enter those areas either. Wake Med is also stepping up its rules. As of Tuesday, visitors in all units must be at least 12 years old or older.
RDU International, here's a live shot here. It's a busy place tonight, and it's on track for a record-breaking year. In 2023, the airport served a record number of passengers added new airlines, new routes, and broke ground on a new runway. The airport also worked to improve parking. The reopening of Park RDU Express added 1,000 parking spaces. Still ahead, a new law in our state will soon require pornography sites to verify user ages. One of the world's largest adult sites already blocking access to some users. We'll explain the change next. Plus, with Durham Public Schools' major redistricting happening in just a couple of months, we're digging into the why behind the historic changes coming to schools there.
I want to bring you back into the WREL Live Center for some breaking news we've learned within the past 5-10-ish minutes. NBC News reporting that Maine's top election official has ruled that former President Trump is ineligible for the 2024 primary ballot. The secretary of that state did this. Maine is the second state behind Colorado last week. Now, the reason behind this stems from a part under the Constitution that prevents insurrectionists from holding office. Minnesota and Michigan recently allowed Trump's name to appear on the primary ballots in those states, and Oregon's Supreme Court has been asked to review it. Recall that Trump is facing up to 5 separate trials next year and verdicts in 2 civil cases, one case including his the allegations against him trying to conspire to defraud the U.S. by subverting the 2020 presidential election.
Chris, thank you. Some adult websites may go offline in North Carolina next week because of a new law meant to protect children. Others may require your driver's license. The new state law requires adult websites to do age verification to make sure that no one under 18 can log on. It doesn't spell out the method for that, and the company that owns the largest adult websites in the country would only tell WREL that they'll comply, not exactly how they plan to do so. The law does say, though, that these websites can't hold on to identifying information. Once they verify the user's age, they're supposed to discard that info. In other states, traffic fell off once a law like this kicked in. So it is official. You can now buy a VinFast vehicle right in our area, in Cary, to be more specific. Leith VinFast open to the public today. Right now, they have 2 models of the VF8. It's an Echo model and a Plus model. This is the first independent VinFast dealership in the state.
Durham Public Schools' redistricting plan has been years in the making, and it's the first redrawing of those regional lines in 30 years. Growing Together, as it's called, addresses every element of being in school, from the academics, the opportunities offered, the buildings themselves, and the transportation. WREL's Monica Casey spoke with district leaders about the why behind the change and how they're working families through it.
Durham's redistricting plan has 4 major goals: equity, access, diversity, and managing growth.
Pearson Town Elementary School principal Asia Cunningham has a lot of families who want to attend her school. Some of those students will be affected by the upcoming redistricting. She is working with families through that transition.
I'm excited about us spreading and making our schools more diverse.
Cunningham says every student deserves to attend a school that is balanced in population, resources, and access.
And the best way to do that is to make sure that we build equitable lines that ensures that our schools can be diverse, right? And so helping them to understand the why has been my focus.
Durham will be split into 5 regions, each with year-round and dual-language school options. Multiple also have international baccalaureate and Montessori programs. The district has hosted more than 100 community engagement events.
We did not want to do this to, we wanted to do it with our community.
Assistant Superintendent Dr. Deborah Pittman tells me this will improve all schools.
Every elementary school will have a renewed focus on arts education. We will also have STEM integration. And most excitingly, every elementary will be able to offer a global language.
Principal Cunningham says the increase in diversity is not only good for the young students at school now, but the people they will become.
That's what our workforce is. It doesn't matter where we come from, what we've experienced. We all generally land in a workplace where we bring our talent to the table. And we need our schools to look like that.
In Durham, Monica Casey, WREL News.
Now, as part of this redistricting, Durham will be able to offer pre-kindergarten and supports for exceptional children at even more schools. The lottery application for schools will open January 8th.
County shelter that serves families experiencing homelessness has been awarded a $1 million grant from the Bezos Day One Fund. The family, Promise of the Triangle, is one of just two shelters in Wake County that take families. They place families in apartments temporarily to keep things as normal as possible for people, especially for children. Family Promise has turned this former student housing complex into 12 three-bedroom, three-bath apartments. The organization also has a transitional housing program that helps families to create a future.
There are requirements where they have to be employed, they have to put so much into an escrow account every month, they have to work with their case manager, work on budgeting skills, attend life skills classes.
Ferris says they served 136 families across six programs last year, up from the previous year, and the need is just increasing. They're getting 15 to 20 calls a day. The $1 million grant will be used over 5 years to expand the shelter diversion program and expanding space so that they can house even more families.
15 to 20 calls a day. What does that tell you? Let's get over to meteorologist Kat Campbell. We had a beautiful day today. I thought I'd shed the jacket. I'm going to need to keep that one handy, though.
Yes, at least as you're leaving work tonight and waking up tomorrow morning. Low temperatures are going to be back in the 30s. We're cooling back down with the winter temperatures making a comeback after a nice stretch of 60s. 33 is the normal low this time of year. We are still above normal tonight, but we're back in the 30s. Temperatures fall into the mid-30s tonight. 33 Saturday morning, below freezing Sunday morning, and that's going to come with some upper 20s in parts of our viewing area. And then as we head into next week, low temperatures stay in the low to mid-30s most nights. Your temperatures outside right now aren't too bad. 47 in Fayetteville, 51 in Raleigh. But the cooler air, it's already pushing into the mountains. It's 39 in Boone at this hour, and we'll continue to see the cooler air move in tonight. We have some upper-level energy that's going to swing through the area. It's been very slow to approach, but it will arrive tomorrow, and we could see an isolated shower develop. That chance is low. It's just 20% from the Triangle North, and it would come tomorrow evening. But a heads up, we do have that small chance of a few sprinkles tomorrow evening. Otherwise, highs in the mid-50s tomorrow, and then struggling to get out of the 40s throughout the day Saturday. 50 degrees the forecast high here in the Triangle. Saturday does come with some snow. Tomorrow night to Saturday, the mountains should see that snow, and that should bring good news to the ski resorts on a very popular ski week and weekend. High temperatures for skiing in the North Carolina mountains around 30 Friday and Saturday. Lows in the 20s, plenty of cold air for making snow, but there should be some light snow tomorrow night to Saturday for the mountains. Good news there. If you're hoping for some snow here locally, the chance of 1 inch of snow or more per the European model ensembles all the way through next week is zero here locally. Much higher chances of that toward the North Carolina mountains. We will keep an eye on the pattern for you. As of right now, there's not really a specific window of time that I'm looking at for any real hope of snow. And trust me, I am looking, not seeing anything too exciting for the snow lovers out there just yet, though. For tonight, low temperatures are going to dip into the low to mid-30s. 30 in Roxboro, 34 Durham, 37 Raleigh, and 36 in Fayetteville. And town by town tomorrow, 51 in Roxboro, 56 in Rocky Mount, 55 in Raleigh and Fayetteville, and 54 degrees in Durham. Our 7-day forecast in the 50s for highs across the board. Looking ahead to New Year's weekend, 54 on New Year's Eve. We got sunshine, dry weather. If you were headed to WRAL First Night in Raleigh downtown, should be a great time out there with sunny skies and dry weather. And as we ring in 2024 at midnight, temperatures around 40 degrees. Next week, keep the jackets handy. We get down to 29 by next Wednesday morning. But, you know, 29, the lowest number on our 7-day for late December, early January, isn't all that bad.
Oh, and especially with that full sunshine on Sunday, yeah. I'll take it. Thanks, Kat.
So you've got your New Year's Eve forecast now. It's time to make some plans. We're celebrating. We're going to run through some options for you across our area to ring in 2024. That's coming up next in Out and About. Right, got any resolutions lined up? We'll see. We got a couple days left of 2023. It is almost time to ring in the new year, and that means many of you will get out and celebrate.
There are plenty of New Year's Eve events across the Triangle. First up, thousands of people will fill downtown Raleigh for the WRAL First Night Celebration. We will be there. Crews are putting final touches on the preparations for the big event. You can expect live performances, lots of activities for families, including a new amusement ride. The Acorn will drop with a fireworks display at 7 o'clock for the kiddos, and then once again, of course, at midnight.
We are your home for WRAL First Night Raleigh. If you want to watch from your couch, tune in. Ashley and I will be down there hanging out. Expanded coverage with all the fun starts Sunday at 10 p.m. on Fox 50. Our coverage will continue straight through the midnight Acorn drop and the fireworks. It is always so beautiful. You can watch the Acorn drop on WRAL right after Sunday night football. Sounds like a fun night, if you ask me. Mm-hmm. For a unique night of live music this New Year's Eve, plus dueling piano bars could be the place for you.
Plus's New Year's Bash features food, drinks, and, of course, an all-request dueling piano show. The party starts at 7 o'clock. Those are so fun to
watch.
They
are fun.
Tickets are $30.
I'm a sucker for those.
Yeah, they're really great. Mm-hmm. Hey, maybe you want to do the New Year's festivities and still get the kids to bed on time?
Yes, that's a plus. The Life and Science Museum in Durham is a place for you to go. They're hosting a noon Year's Eve celebration on Sunday. There will be crafts and music and a special drop of the ball at noon.
Very
that's
cute.
Perfect. Yeah, the kids will be in bed, none of the covers, and the right amount of time. And the first dry bar in Raleigh is throwing their debut party this New Year's Eve. It's an interesting idea.
Yeah,
like it.
Yeah, it's really cool. Take 2024, they're calling it Take on 2024, with a mocktail in hand at Umbrella Dry Bar. The venue is at 14 West Martin Street. This is also a great way to get the jump on dry January. Tickets to this event are $100 each. Mocktails are really booming in popularity.
Yes, they're delicious, some of them.
WRAL has your complete guide to New Year's Eve in our area.
Look for a full list on our website, WRAL.com. Just search out and about. There's tons of things to do. But look, if you want to stay in and around, we're going to be out there for first night. Ashley, she was buying her coat tonight. It looks nice.
I'm excited for it. Thanks for making WRAL your choice for local news.
I need to up the style. We'll see you. We'll see you back here later tonight.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.